Welcome to Blast the Past, a show where we revisit the media that shaped our culture. I'm Landry Smith. I'm with my host, Tab Blankenship. How are you doing today, Tab?
I am fantastic, Landry. How are you?
Oh, man. I'm good. We've been through the ringer with some technical difficulties, but I'm super stoked that we got it figured out. There for a second, I thought we were just going to have to record some other day, and I was not stoked on that because I feel ready to go tonight. So
glad we could
figure it out. So today we're talking about a movie called A League of Their Own, and this came out in 1992, and it's a movie that takes place in the past. The year is 1943. It's World War II. All the men are away. So Major League Baseball is kind of having this crisis moment. They're taking a hiatus, and obviously the people running the league still want to make money. They want to fill that space. So they decide to create an all-American girls professional baseball league. This is something I had never heard of personally, but this is a real thing that happened in history. And so they send out agents, I guess, all over the United States and Canada, according to the song. But an agent goes to rural Oregon, very small town of Oregon, spots Dottie Henson at a softball game, and he wants her to join the league. And Dottie brings her kid sister along, Kit, and Kit has a serious inferiority complex, which will come in later down the line. Dottie is played by Geeta Davis, and Kit is played by Lori Petty. Also, the agent is John Levinson, and he's a great little highlight. Do I have that name right? I didn't look it up.
I don't think that's right.
No? Hold on. I've got IMDb open. That's just what I was thinking, but he was great. He stole the scenes that he was in for sure. Oh, man, he's not like even hard.
No, he's I mean, he's in the movie early, and then you don't see him ever again.
They try out for the league and make one of the four teams. There's only four teams in this league. I thought that was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
I guess it's a good way to start. But their team is managed by this alcoholic former home run king, Jimmy Dugan, who's played by Tom Hanks, and what I think is probably his funniest role of his career. He was hilarious. Great comedy in this movie. The team they make also has center fielder May Mortabito, played by Madonna. That was pretty cool seeing her. Third base was Doris Murphy, played by Rosie O'Donnell. I would argue they're kind of like the two people who may not be like the main cast members who have a chance of stealing the show for me later down the line today. But the team plays to win in the league, but that almost is like a secondary storyline to really what they're trying to do is win the support of fans and people just kind of support their league so they can continue because they're in jeopardy of being shut down the whole time. And that's kind of the plot of the movie. But what is your history with this film, Tab?
So I never saw this in theaters, but when I was a kid, we watched it on TV. I don't know if we rented it. Probably did. I don't know if we saw it on HBO. I have always had a very fond opinion of A League of Their Own. And to me, it's one of the top 10 best sports films of all time. And I love this movie. I've always loved this movie. It's a good, clean movie. I mean, there's no blood. There's no gore. There's limited profanity. You know, it's a movie that you could show anybody and hopefully they enjoy it. I mean, it's a fun movie. It's got good humor. It's got emotion. Like, I teared up four times in this movie.
Wow.
And I got the chills twice.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So, and it always does it to me. This movie always does it to me. And I'm not a crier, but when I watch this movie, man, oh God, it's a good one. It's got good sports. It's got a good story. You really see an arc, you know, like as you were mentioning with how they were trying to win over the public. I mean, that's 75% of the movie.
You know? For sure.
And it's a great movie. I love this movie. I don't want to give anything away, but I love it. I've always thought very highly of this movie. I've recommended it to a lot of people and great performances. And the sports movies sometimes can go really bad when the actors aren't athletic and they did a really good job. With the casting in this movie, everybody trained. They trained for months. I'll go get this one out of the way. So in this movie, all the players trained for months and months and months. And then a few weeks before shooting, the lead backed out. It was going to be.
I saw this too.
Yeah. Deborah Winger was supposed to be Dottie Henson and she backed out a few weeks. And so Geeta Davis has to come in. You know, she's months behind everybody else.
Geeta Davis is like most famous movie too.
She's fantastic.
Beetlejuice. Yeah, she crushes the role.
Yeah, she's fantastic in this. And within weeks, she was already the best player out there. She's a
And to
natural.
your
She's
point, they all had to be really good baseball players. And Penny Marshall, the director, was really adamant about that. And Marissa Tomei from My Cousin Vinny, which we filmed that episode last week or 2 weeks ago, she filmed an audition tape on the set of My Cousin Vinny, and Joe Pesci was playing coach for her. And Penny Marshall wanted to cast her, but she just wasn't good at baseball. So she didn't, just for that reason. And she was at that time, you know, kind of like a rising star. That was one of Penny Marshall, the director of this film's big things. She wanted people who were in the movie to be good at baseball. And Gina Davis was the only one apparently who wasn't, you know, at the start, but she was athletic enough to do some really cool things in the film as well.
And so I really appreciate that about Penny Marshall for holding them to the standard, because when you're doing a sports movie, it's got to look good. And some of them look horrible, especially football.
They all wanted to do their own stunts on the movie too.
Yeah, they did. And Madonna, you and I might have seen the same video. Madonna
I didn't watch the
was
video.
So bad at, well, I mean, she wasn't like horrible, but she couldn't feel the grounder. And so her character was supposed to be at third base. So they moved her to the outfield. And they put Rosie O'Donnell at third. Yeah, because Madonna couldn't handle the grounders.
That's funny. Well, so let's talk about the historical context of this film. And we're not talking about necessarily like why this movie was made, like what its inspiration was, even though being based on the All-American Girls Professional League is one of the things I think that maybe actually has a reason for this movie sticking around so long, just because that's such an obscure piece of history, something that I didn't really actually know was a real thing. What are some of the other reasons this movie's still kicking around 25 years after it was made, 30 years after it was made?
Well, before I get into it, I just want to clarify, are you talking about the AAG PBL?
Yeah, who came up with that?
That's too much.
That takes up a whole t-shirt.
That's too much. Way too much. Whenever I would see that abbreviated, I would laugh. When they would just call it the All-American Girls League, I didn't notice it. But when they put those, you know, AAG, PBL, I was like, man, like,
yeah,
that's too much. That's too much.
When you have to hyphenate your abbreviations, you know you've got a problem.
Bananas. What makes it historically relevant? I think it's a great story. I think it holds up. I think it does. Plus, it's set in the 1940s. So, I mean, I think it'll age well. Yeah. Plus, it's very... you know, unique story of female baseball players.
Yeah, it being a period piece made it feel... I watched it in Ultra HD. I've had an interesting watch history in these past 10 movies. I've watched some on VHS. I've watched some on, like, a phone screen. I've watched some... I actually have a really nice, like, home theater setup. So I put it on, like, the 4K TV Ultra HD version I bought from Amazon, and I had, like, my whole sound system kicking for this one. And it was a great movie to watch, like, in a theater experience. Like, the sound was really good. You know, there were some good moments. But yeah, it being a period piece made it feel to me like visually and audio wise it held up really well. Also, score by Hans Zimmer. Didn't see that coming.
Didn't even
sound like Hans Zimmer at all. Like, this is one that they should probably... I mean, there's a lot of pop songs, like soundtrack songs, but in, like, you know, like the sentimental moments of the film, if they ever want to show like a side of Hans Zimmer that people didn't know he had, go back to this one. I almost was like, is this the same guy? Is this just like someone else? Is that a popular name in like Germany or something I don't know about? But yeah, I think that. And then there's some really great comedic performances from Rosie O'Donnell, Tom Hanks, and Madonna is like surprisingly really good in this movie, I thought.
Yep, agreed.
Just a great side character. And that's another thing, when you have like these giant casts, just like, and I don't know that all of them were famous at the time, but a lot of these like A-list or vehicle pieces don't work well, but each character I thought did a really good job.
John Lovitz killed it. John Lovitz was fantastic.
Yeah, he had a much larger role initially, and they shot a bunch of scenes for him, and he was a comeback character in multiple scenes, but after apparently some screeners, the laughs early on in the film were so hard for his character. Like, people seemed to like him so much, they just kind of like wanted those to be the more memorable scenes. But yeah, I thought he was a great character. A most successful baseball film of all time grossed $132 million at the box office. So that's pretty impressive. I would have thought that would have been The Sandlot, but, and I didn't fact check this stat, I'll be honest. Like, I just Googled it, and it said that it was the top. So I didn't even see where The Sandlot ranked on that list, but still pretty impressive. All right. So Without further ado, let's get into Tabs Notes.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the AAGPL, A League of Their Own. The movie opens on a house in a very quiet neighborhood. A grandmother packs her suitcase. This is Dottie Henson. I was Monday years old when I learned that that was not Gina Davis in the greatest elderly prosthetics of all time.
Dude, I'll tell you what, man. Like, it wasn't. But her
no,
voice,
it was not.
Her voice, I know, it was like, I can't remember her name, but her voice was dubbed over the lady. So it sounds exactly like her. Yes. And I swear to God, I got up and I felt, it was like two nights in a row, I've been just at my speaker system adjusting the audio settings because I was like, there's a delay in her voice and it's really bothering me. So I was like up, like pressing all the channels on my systems. I was like, what the hell is going on? I didn't find out until preparing for this show that it was an audio dub of that old lady's voice. And I was like, that's why it wasn't lining up right.
Yeah.
Like it was irritating me.
And that is one of the reasons that I always thought this was Gina Davis. They did a phenomenal job casting the elderly versions of these people to the younger castmates. Like,
yeah,
like I don't know if you agree. Like, I think they did. They nailed it on every single one. Every
100%.
Single one. Yeah. And I've been operating for 30 years thinking that was Gina Davis in an old lady wig. And I was like, for 30 plus years, yeah. I've operated with the opinion that whoever did the hair and makeup for this movie deserved an Oscar because
hair makeup,
they
but also
it.
Like the body language of all the characters of the old lady actresses were good. Like they, yeah. Their body language encapsulated what those characters were.
Yeah.
So because they didn't necessarily look like them, but you knew exactly who they were. But yeah, I think.
Yeah, I thought they did look like them. I thought they did. I thought they did a really good job. You can look at them like, okay, so Madonna, the lady, the old lady that plays Madonna. Okay. And the old lady that plays Rosie O'Donnell, sure. Like, I knew those were actresses. I thought that was Gina Davis.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. And I think
yeah,
it could be 10 times.
That old lady from Homeward Bound.
Yeah. I forget her name. I had it written down somewhere, I thought. Anyway, so Gina Davis is packing her bags. Okay. Wherever she's going, she doesn't want to go. Her daughter's adult daughter. Her daughter's probably in her 40s. It's like pushing her out the door. Like, come on, grandma. Or come on, mom. Like, just go do it. Gina Davis doesn't want to do it.
Kind of mirrors her entire character for the whole movie.
Yeah.
I actually had some problems with Dottie Henson and Gina Davis's character. I'm going to wage war against this person here later
on. I do
on.
Have a few things to say about her as well. In the driveway, we see two grandsons playing basketball as Gina Davis and her daughter load her luggage into the car. There's two kids. One's a little bit bigger than the other. Gina Davis, Dottie, turns to the tallest kid and says, hey, take it easy on your little brother. Let him score. And then she turns to the little brother and goes, kill him. The little brother continues to drive the lane.
Like three double dribbles.
Do two carries, a double dribble, and then turns around and throws the ball over his shoulder and it banks in. Great shot. Does not count. Learn the rules.
Yeah, but his brother's not any better, man. I was thinking the whole time, I was like, okay, I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. And if they're that bad at basketball when they're that age, I am going to tell them to put the ball down and go do something else.
Yep.
It was inexcusable.
Agreed. Agreed. Absolutely horrendous. No excuse. Dottie takes a Greyhound bus. It goes to Cooperstown. Goes straight to the stadium. Do buses go straight to the stadiums? Like, I've never seen, like, buses go to bus stops. They don't go to your destination. Are they pulling up to a driveway? Will they take me home? Like, I mean, like, where are they going? Dottie enters Cooperstown Stadium and watches a bunch of old ladies play baseball. We focus on Dottie. We don't see a lot of action. It's just Dottie's face. And then it fades into a black and white World War II kind of film where, like, the boys are going to war.
Classic 90s trope, man. Like, the old person sentimental look back at their life. Maybe it's just a Saving Private Ryan thing. I don't know. But I'm just like, again, I this whole time I was watching this movie, I was like, movies are afraid to be sentimental, and it really annoys me these days. Like, I love the sentimentality of this film.
Well, we now cut to a softball game in Oregon. Lori Petty can't lay off the high stuff. She's at bat just swinging at everything high. She strikes out, I believe. Yeah, Lori Petty strikes out. Now Dottie Henson has to come up, save the day. They throw her a ball. She cracks it out of the ballpark. Walk-off homer. Dottie's the king. Sorry, Kit. That is Lori Petty. She is little sister Kit. That's their relationship is probably the majority of this movie, right? Kitty and Dottie are now on the family farm, and you can tell some sibling rivalry. You know, they're trying to run faster than the other. Who's the first one to get in to wash up? Who milks the cow the fastest?
That wasn't a run. That was a speed walk.
Yes.
Some impressive speed walking.
I agree. Also about speed walking, I know it's an Olympic event, and I never understood what is the difference between like when does speed walking become running? But there are rules in speed walking. I won't get into it because this isn't a speed walking movie, but there are rules for speed walking.
They should show that clip. I mean, that was speed walking. That wasn't running. There was stiff hips, you know?
It's all about the hips. Yeah, John Lovitz shows up to recruit Dottie while Dottie and Kit are milking a cow. He offers her $75 a week, which is way more than the $30 they make on the dairy farm.
It's more than double.
Dottie doesn't want to go. Kit really wants to go. You could tell Kit wants to get out and experience life, and Dottie just wants to stay on the farm. And, you know, her husband's at war. You know, she just wants to, you know, be there when he gets back, right? Kit talks to the scout and basically says, you know, if you can get her to come, you can come too. We now cut to the train station. The train is leaving. And the girls are running along the train. This is the scene that always stood out to me. I always remember this scene. Of course, Dottie gets there first and she's running up to the door and then like throws her luggage in and then like fades into the background and then
Just
like
went right into
runs up
tears.
to the door, like throws more luggage in and like fades in the background. And I always thought that was a really cool scene, really well shot.
Then I had no idea your chair had wheels. That was a good segment.
Before they go to Chicago for the tryouts, because that's the next stop, right? You don't just get plucked by John Lovitz, and now you're in the league. You still got to try out. Before that, they stop off in Fort Collins, Colorado, to scout a girl hitting in a baseball gym or a basketball gym. Excuse me. This is also another very memorable scene for me. How the fact that people are playing baseball in a basketball court,
Yeah, on a
and
sunny day.
well, no, it was raining. Like
Oh,
it
was
was
it?
absolutely raining. It was raining.
Or
The
track that
girl is
pretty
just
too.
cranking out homers as a righty. Okay, just pounding the ball, just crushing it. All these guys are, you know, in the bleachers and, you know, where third base would be, just dodging balls. And then the father of this girl's like, "Hey, Marla, that's her name, Marla Hooch, one of my favorite characters. Marla, do it from the left." And so now she switched to being a lefty, and she's like cranking him out even more. So she's clearly got talent. But John Lovitz goes to talk to her and finds out she is ugly, and he wants nothing to do with her. Okay,
He has a
so.
visceral reaction to the way she looks. It's pretty
Very visceral.
hilarious.
And then her father was like, "Oh, come on, man, don't take it out on her that I raised her like a boy. Like, don't, you know, but giving them the sob story, right?" And then now Dottie and Kit don't want to go because he won't take the ugly girl. And so now, you know, women unite, and gosh darn it, they get her to go. The daughter, Marla, and her father go to the train station. She gets on there. She doesn't want to leave. It's kind of emotional. I did not cry at this point. Okay, nope. I did. I wrote it down. I actually did.
Nope.
I did tear up when Marla Hooch was talking to her father, like, "Who's gonna make your meals? This, that, the other daddy?" And he was just like, "Go on out there, tiger. Show them what you got." Like, I don't know. I brought a little tear to my eye. So they show up to the tryouts. Okay. Then they walk into a beautiful baseball stadium in Chicago. I assumed it was Wrigley Field. They call it Harvey Field. I don't know if it was Wrigley Field. Could have been Comiskey Park, where,
They
but I don't
changed
know.
it. They changed it out, the name out, right? That would have been historically Wrigley Field, right?
Yes.
But they changed it to
Yes.
the candy bar guy.
Okay, so it was Wrigley because there's ivy on the walls. I assumed it was Wrigley because I mean,
I think,
I've seen
yeah,
the
I
White
think
Sox
it's a
play.
stand-in. You know, they probably
Okay.
didn't get the rights or whatever.
Yeah, the White. I've seen the White Sox play, and their stadium is garbage. Like, at least it was in the early 90s. Like, Comiskey Park was horrible. Like, it looked nothing like this. You know, this was a beautiful stadium, right? So that was Harvey Field because of Harvey Candy Bars. The guy that owns Harvey Candy Bars, Mr. Harvey, he is the financial driving force behind this AAGPL, right? At the tryouts, we meet Madonna and Rosie O'Donnell. They bicker back and forth before realizing that Dottie Henson's pretty damn good at baseball. There are four teams, 16 players on each team. You could do the math. That's 64 players. Not everyone's going to make it, so some are going to get cut. They have a montage of baseball plays. Honestly, did a pretty good job. People, you know, these girls were catching balls against the wall. They were fielding grounders. Turning two, like turning, like you could tell a lot about an actor whether or not they can turn two, and they were doing it quite fluid. All right.
It stunned me legitimately to read after I watched the movie that there were very little stunt doubles for the baseball scenes, because there were good baseball scenes and all the actors, at least all the ones that were on the scene, like the main team, were doing their own stunts. Like the one stunt double that I read that ha did was like for the split catch that Geena Davis did.
Okay, I would have guessed another one, which was during the tryouts, Geena Davis, who plays the catcher, she threw an absolute laser to second base from behind home plate. And I was like, there ain't no way That was Gina Davis. I mean, that was that could have been a man with a wig on. I mean, this guy just was an absolute rope. I was like, all right, like that just it just looked like somebody who
Yeah, it probably
had
was.
so much experience behind home plate, which might have been why it was shot from the back. Now, granted, it's a catcher. Where else are you going to shoot it from? The front, probably going to get hit with the ball. And if you shoot from the left or right, you're not really seeing much. So, okay, I get it, but I really feel like that was a stunt double. Okay. They had the tryouts. They list the five lists, one list for each team, and then a long 3-page list of the people that got cut. And there's a lady who was standing by all the people looking to find their names, and the ones that got accepted, they all sit in groups on the field to get spoken to by one of the coaches. And this one girl just standing by the bulletin board, just like, I don't know if my name's on there, whatever. And they're kind of giving her a hard time. Turns out she can't read, right? So one of the girls walks up to her and is like, "Can you read?" She's like, "No." And I
That's a great
swear to
guess.
God, I thought that was Joan Cusack who couldn't read. Okay. I thought that was Joan Cusack. It is not Joan Cusack. Do you know who it is?
No, I do not.
It is Anne Cusack.
Wow. Hey, you were so close.
So close. All right. So they look on the list to try and find Anne Cusack's name. Her character's name is Shirley Baker. She's like, "My name's Shirley Baker." And they look and they find Shirley Baker. And then the girl is so excited. Like, she's actually on the team. Tearful moment number two.
Yeah, that was a good moment.
That was a good one. Okay. All players now go through charm school. Okay. This is where they have this etiquette coach who's trying to teach them how to be more beautiful and to walk with better posture and be more ladylike because they're about to put on a show, you know. And then I guess the whole idea was to get attractive females to play baseball and maybe people come watch, right? Lots of jokes in this movie about Marla Hooch being ugly. Okay. There's a
Yes.
lot. That's a reoccurring joke. Okay.
I have a favorite one too. And I mean, I don't even know if these would hold up in 2025 because you can't be mean to anyone anymore.
Yeah.
But there's one that was really funny to me.
The head etiquette lady is going girl to girl, giving her advice, telling one girl your eyebrows are too thick, tell another girl you have horrible posture. One of the girls in that lineup was Taya Leone, who plays first base for Racine. In the credits, she's just listed as Racine first baseman. Okay, Taya Leone. Kind of had a little moment in the early mid-90s. Probably
Okay.
mid-90s. You don't know who Taya Leone is?
No idea.
Oh,
Never heard
wow.
of that name in my
Yeah,
life.
she had a big moment there in the mid-90s, you know, had a TV
Okay.
show on Fox, I think. It was pretty big.
Okay.
One of my celebrity crushes from back then. So, yeah. And then she gets to Marla Hooch, the etiquette coach. And she looks at Marla Hooch and the girl goes, "What's your advice?" And she turns to her and says, "More night games." Burn.
One of the things I loved about this scene, though, was there was a couple moments in this movie where I was like, okay, are they going to treat Gina Davis the same as some of the other people? Because she just looks like she looks high. Like she's not only like really pretty, but she just looks super classy too. So I was like, if she goes to this class school or whatever and they tell her she has to fix all these things, like I was going to be upset. But every time they came to her, the lady came to her, she was like, great job. And I was like, okay, that's good at least because I wouldn't have been believable otherwise.
Well, she is a professional etiquette, so I mean,
Yeah.
she don't teach the school for nothing, Landry.
That's right.
Okay,
She
she's
knows. She knows.
So 31 minutes into the movie, we finally meet Tom Hanks. He is on the property of Mr. Harvey. Mr. Harvey's property looks like something that I imagine like a drug cartel member would own. Just an absolute palatial estate, like just beautifully
Yeah.
kept, like just a like you should charge the public to come and look at his
I
home.
hope
Like
so.
it was just absolutely fantastic. I'm pretty sure in this conversation, Tom Hanks' character, Jimmy Dugan, or Duggan, Jimmy Duggan, is a former baseball player who is now an alcoholic. His knees are gone, and he's no
His
longer
knees are
playing
gone.
baseball. I believe he said he had 486 home runs. And later
Yeah,
on, you
dude.
find out he was a six-time All-Star. That's Hall of Fame numbers.
Yeah, is he a real? I was thought this while I was watching him, but like, I wonder if he's a real person.
Don't think so. No, Jimmy Duggan is not a real person. No, absolutely not. Yeah. So they basically, Mr. Harvey wants to offer Jimmy Duggan, Tom Hanks, a role as a manager for one of the baseball teams of the AAGPL. He reluctantly accepts because he realizes through conversation that he really has no other option. He's a drunk, he's got bad cartilage in his knees, can't play the game anymore, and this was basically his last chance to make something of himself. So he decides to take it on. So Tom Hanks walks into the locker room for the Rockford Peaches. Okay, this is the team that's the main team of the league. This is where Gina Davis is, Lori Petty, Madonna, Rosie O'Donnell. Everybody's on this team, right? This is the team. There's a second team, Racine. That's the second team. I couldn't tell you who three and four are. I couldn't
Yeah,
tell
it's
you.
true. Yeah, we got the yellow dress girls. Those are the rival, clearly. That's 14 league. I mean.
So Tom Hanks walks into the women's locker room. Doesn't say a word to anybody. One of the players, Betty Spaghetti, tries to get Tom Hanks to sign. Betty Spaghetti is so excited because she has her husband, who's at war, she has her husband's baseball card, and she wants him to get him to autograph it. So she wants to ask Tom Hanks if he'll autograph it. He walks in, goes straight to the urinal, doesn't talk to anybody, and begins to piss, right? Do you know how long, screen time-wise, that piss was, Landry?
I don't know. I know they started to time it. Rosie O'Donnell is really excited about it. But I do know that Tom Hanks had no idea how long he was going to pee whenever he went into that scene.
Yeah. Any idea how long it was?
No, no idea. I'm going to say 45 seconds.
From the first drip to the last drop was 51 seconds.
First, you are correct.
No, he didn't. Okay, so how the scene was filmed, Penny Marshall was in the stall next to him with a bucket of water, and nobody knew how long she was going to pour. And so Tom Hanks was sitting there just having to act as if he was, you know, going to the bathroom, and he had no idea when it was going to stop. And there's some times, there's like moments in the middle of it where like it kind of stops, and then it kind of goes again, and then stops, and then like dribble, dribble, you know. He did a fantastic job of acting it. It was a great scene. Probably,
my favorite moment of that hearing afterwards is Rosie O'Donnell in the background. She's like, oh, that counts.
Yeah, yeah. When he stops and then starts again, and it's like, that counts.
That's some pretty good improv right there.
Yeah. So probably one of the most iconic scenes in the movie, that scene right there, I think. Anyway. So he finishes up, starts to leave. Betty Spaghetti approaches him with the baseball card. Mr. Dugan, would you please sign it? He rips it up, throws it down, and she's practically in tears that her husband's prized baseball card has just been ripped up. However, I would like to offer her a silver lining. Would you rather have an autograph or a card that you know he ripped up and threw down? That's unique. He's signing a lot of autographs. He ain't ripping up a lot of baseball cards.
Absolutely. That's like, yeah, that's that. I mean, piece it together, put it in a little card case, and you got a story to show everybody.
A story. Absolutely. So, but he leaves, silly Tom Hanks, he leaves without setting the lineup. Dottie steps up and sets the lineup. The girls take the field and the crowd mocks them. They laugh. They are like, why would you pay admission to mock the people that you're like if it's the other team, sure. But I think these were the home field. Like, and they're like laughing at them. And this is just, you know, the beginning of, I mean, they got an uphill climb, you know.
Let's be honest though. The turnout is like, I mean, we're talking low minor league numbers, right? This was like the Chattanooga lookouts are pulling in more people than these guys.
Way
these
more. I mean, they had dozens of people in the stands. It wasn't like it was, you know. But so Tom Hanks is basically asleep in the dugout. Dottie takes the plate down or up 0-3, crushes the home run, swinging on 0-3. And the announcer makes a comment like, oh, I can't believe Jimmy Dugan let her swing on a 0-3 count or a 3-0 count. What a great baseball mind. Well, he had nothing to do with it, right? So that's kind of a common theme here. So now we have a film similar to the World War II black and white, but it's showcasing the girls of the AAGPL, and they're playing baseball. This is the thing. So they're playing baseball. They're looking good. Yeah, they're all attractive, and they're like, this is so-and-so. She's a great at hosting tea parties, and this is another girl. She's great at doing X, Y, and Z. And then they go, this is Marla Hooch. And she's...
What a knockout.
40 feet away from the camera. Everybody else is like an up-close shot. Marla Hooch is just a silhouette in the distance. And they go,
that was hilarious.
What a hitter.
Yeah, what a hitter. That was like, man, what a hitter. That one made me laugh. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. So one of the players, Evelyn, walks up and asks Hank if she could bring her son, Stillwell, on road trips. He, some reason,
I guess they just had to add another comedic element to the story.
So he apparently agrees, and Stillwell is an absolute menace. He is running up and down the bus on their bus tour, or on their when they're driving from stadium to stadium, and he's an absolute pain in the ass. The bus driver just quits, pulls over in the middle of nowhere in a cornfield, and just abandons the bus. Where is this man gonna go?
Great question. What did he do to the team manager? She walks off to the guy in the middle of a cornfield, and she comes back with just like black dirt all over her face.
He picks up a mud pie and just throws it right in her face.
I missed that somehow.
You didn't notice that? Yeah, they're like in the distance.
I must have gotten a text or something to that. I mean, it's 2025. I missed that entirely. I looked up and saw her face was muddy. I was like, what happens?
Yeah, yeah. So he reaches down, picks up a mud pie, and she does not duck, nothing. He just Pie to the face. Square in the mouth.
Oh, I missed that. That's
well,
wild.
All this is going on. Madonna has the girls group together because there's this chaperone. As you call her, the manager, right? No one likes her. She's a stifler. Like, her job is to keep the girls inside at night, right? So Madonna's like, I'm going to poison that lady and we're going to go out and have some fun tonight.
Savage move. Love it.
Criminal. Criminal. This woman almost dies. Like, she looks like she is vomiting everywhere. She looks like death. So they go out. The girls go out. They go to Willie's Sud Bucket. Almost like Sack of Suds.
Yeah. Oh, hey, yeah. Dang, there's another connection.
Another Sud reference. They have some fun. They dance to jazz music. Madonna goes all out. She's juking and jiving. She's cutting rugs. Dottie gets a ride. Dottie doesn't go. She gets a ride to Sud later. Show up to tell everybody, y'all better get back to the hotel before, you know, old lady or whatever wakes up from her nap and you're all going to be out of the league. Okay? A lot of stuff happens here. Lori Petty gets hit on. Marla Hooch meets a man. Marla Hooch goes up on the stage drunk and she's like singing, you know, It Had to Be You to some guy named Henry, I think.
I'm surprised you got his name.
Was it Henry?
I don't know. I never heard a name. I know she gets married to him.
I think it was Henry. Yeah, spoiler alert. So she's talking to this guy, Henry, who is absolutely rocked up. He is watching Marla Hooch on the stage, and you could have told him a gun was pointed to his head. He could not have cared less. Like, he was laser focused on the gorgeous Marla Hooch. Okay. Dottie's now basically coaching the team. Hank doesn't like it. He is constantly going back and forth with Dottie. So Dottie tries to call a runner on third. Dottie tries to call a squeeze play, basically a bunt combined with a third base runner trying to steal home, right? And Tom Hanks is like, what are you doing? You got Marla Hooch, our best hitter, up. You're not doing a squeeze play. And he starts giving her the sign, you know, like baseball signs, which is so stupid, you know? It's going good, absolutely, yeah, right?
And Dottie was doing the moment I knew that he was a good coach, because all he does is ask for what the sign is, and then he rips it off like, perfectly afterwards. Yeah. Like, there's a man who's played baseball his entire life.
Yeah,
step aside.
Oh, great. Yeah, really good job. Again, even though Hanks doesn't play the game in the movie, he does a fantastic job of coaching it when he finally gets around to it. But basically, Marla Hooch says, okay, I'm swinging away, hits a deep ball. Tom Hanks is vindicated. And then Gina Davis kind of gives a little tip of the hat. Little, yeah, good job. What's up with that? Hanks is starting to become a manager. Like, you can see his growth. Like, he started to care about these people. He's starting to care about winning. You know, he wants the right things to happen. Madonna is, they're now on the bus traveling to the next game. Madonna is teaching the illiterate Shirley Baker, AKA Ann Cusack, how to read. And she's doing it with erotica, like erotic literature. And I always thought that was kind of a funny moment. You know, just like, that's a fun movie, you know, a little fun moment in the back. We see Rosie O'Donnell is talking to some other girls, and she shows the first time mentions her boyfriend, I think, boyfriend back home. And he is an absolute train wreck. Okay. He's got a unibrow that would rival Anthony Davis. I don't know if you saw the photo, like, it was thick boy. Okay. That unibrow had to be fake. Like, had to be fake. Now it's game day. Score 6-6. Hank yells at Evelyn for crying. So Evelyn makes an error and lets a base runner on, who then hits it. So Evelyn makes an error. Runner is on. That should have been the last out of the inning. The next batter gets a hit, 2-run score, tie ball game 6-6. Evelyn comes to dugout and Tom Hanks is yelling at her. And she begins to cry. This is probably the most iconic line in the movie.
100%.
There's no crying in baseball.
Yeah.
Everyone's seen that. Yeah.
AFI's top 100 movie quotes. This was like number 54. Like, it's the one that, you know, you don't even have to see this movie. You know this line.
Yeah. And the umpire is like, hey, Jimmy, tone it down. Stop yelling at your players. And he says to the umpire, you look like a penis with a hat on. Ejected. He's out. Okay. Attendance is down. It's in the gutter. No one's coming to the games. A reporter from Life magazine shows up. Who's like the liaison between Harvey and the players? Because I thought that guy was in Jurassic Park, not the same guy. I thought it was the guy from Jurassic Park. The guy
exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. They look very similar.
Yeah.
It's the glasses, I guess. Similar role.
Yeah. So they have a reporter from Life magazine there, and he's basically saying, like, hey, ladies, put on a show today. We really need you. Insinuating, like, if this thing doesn't turn around and the tennis doesn't pick up, we're out. So that's when he labeled Dottie the Queen of Diamonds, Dottie Henson. Right nickname. In game, a girl hits a foul ball behind the catcher. Dottie Henson goes over, looks up at the photographer for Life magazine and the reporter, does a split, catches the ball, smiles, like really great, like a beautiful smile as she catches it, turns the camera, knows exactly where the camera is, knows what she's doing, makes the catch.
She was made for that moment.
Film, they take snap of a photo, and that is the cover of Life magazine.
This is my problem with while you're figuring out where to go next in your notes. This is my problem with Dottie Henson. She's incredible. She's got this like fantastic talent, but throughout the whole movie, there's like this through line of her not really wanting to be there, or like, I never really wanted to be there in the first place. And to be honest, it kind of got on my nerves. Like, she does do the thing for the team here in this moment, but there's so many other moments where she just like, I feel like she's really selfish and in a lot of moments in this,
Oh, for
and
sure.
kind of a hard lead to get behind for most of the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. So attendance begins to grow. We see a montage of headlines and baseball play, and the girls are doing a great job, and they're, at another moment, Gina Davis, the foul ball, similar situation, goes like catching the ball behind her back, like a Harlem Globetrotter kind of doing her thing. Attendance is blowing up. People are excited. They're talking about the league. It's making headlines in national newspapers. And you see this montage really does a great job of just like pushing it over, right? During the montage, a foul ball gets hit down the first baseline. We have a woman, a black lady, in what appears to be her Sunday best, while she's about to go to church, who goes onto the field, picks up the foul ball, and throws it over Dottie Henson and all the way to the cutoff person behind Dottie Henson, not even the cutoff, like the security blanket. And that girl's hand is like, God, it's like he threw it really hard. That scene right there. Then I realized, like, oh wait, there's all white players in this, which would make sense in 1942 because I don't think the league integrated until like, the 50s, right? Jackie Robinson, that's men baseball. If you're telling me men ain't integrated, they're not letting black women play. Like this is an APGL. You can add a W in there. So that scene, there was a Amazon series for one series that was A League of Their Own. From what I and I only watched the trailer. And in that series was Abby Jacobson from Broad City. Great show. If you've never seen it, Broad City, great show.
Anyway.
Yeah. So Abby Jacobson did that. And I believe the story, from what I could tell from the trailer, the story was essentially trying to get black women into the league. That's what I got from it. And in the
Interesting.
movie, you see 5, 10 seconds, but that turned out to be a whole series. So haven't watched it.
Interesting.
I would watch it. Yeah.
2022 came out. Pretty good reviews. I think it's ranked, if I saw on IMDb, it's ranked the exact same score, maybe 1 point higher than A League of Their Own. So
Trailer looks great.
much less.
Marla Hooch gets married and is basically gone. Marla Hooch gets hitched. Adios. See you next season. Like, absolutely bails on her team.
I didn't realize she left after that. That's wild.
So now they're still doing like they're showing clips of the game being played, turning double plays, making spectacular catches. And then there's the scene where a woman slides into third base and she's like the Canadian player on the team. Absolute smoke show. Don't know her name. She slides into third and has one of the most disgusting strawberries I have ever seen in my life. That was 100% real. And
Yeah,
that
stayed with her for a year.
over a year, that stayed with her for over 1 year. That is
Yeah, wow,
insane.
I saw that too. I love that we both looked up like random obscure trivia for this film before
It's
that. We
fun.
both came ready. Yeah.
The crowds are now full. Things are popping off. We have fireworks. We have cheering crowds. Now we've got a bus ride. Really takes the emotion out of it, right? We're going from a high, energetic feel. Now we're on a sad bus ride. It's quiet. Tom Hanks and Dottie are talking. And Dottie's telling her about it. Her husband that's at war. And she's basically like, oh, why aren't you at war, Jimmy? And he's like, well, I got no cartilage in my knees. Total draft dodger. You don't need cartilage in your knees to defeat the Germans, okay?
You can lose. You get later.
Yeah, it's going to get blown off in Normandy anyway. Get your ass out there.
Right.
All right, now it's game day. Kit is
Did you
getting.
know though? Did you know that originally the script and that right up to the very end, I think they may have even shot this. Dottie and Jimmy, is that his name? Dugal or whatever. They were supposed to have a scene where they kiss and we're like fall. I feel like there's a lot of allusions to them kind of like falling in love with each other,
Agreed.
but. Again, the director cut it because she was just thinking like Dottie would be a completely unlikable character to the American public if she cheated on her husband while he was away at war.
Agreed.
So they cut that out. But I thought there was a little something going on cooking between them.
Yeah, for sure. It's there. And I like that they don't show a kiss because I prefer that relationship not to cross into anything romantic, even though it borderlines on it for most of the film. So it's game day. Kit is getting absolutely rocked, right?
Yes, no question.
They go up to her. And back then, baseball pitchers pitched the whole game. Like a relief pitcher wasn't even a thing until the 1970s. So pitchers used to like, I start the game, I'm finishing the game. And that's just how life was back then.
That's what I was a little confused during that scene. I was like, what are you doing? Just get off the field is the way I was feeling.
Well, you're used to now modern baseball where you pitch five innings, you come out, they bring in a guy for the sixth inning, bring in another guy for the seventh, another guy for the eighth. And it's like, all right. But back then you just threw the ball all day, every day, which is, but so she's getting rocked. Tom Hanks comes out with Dottie, the catcher. They meet at the plate or they meet at the mound. And, Tom Hanks wants to pull her, and Kit does not want to come out of the game. And Dottie is like, you know what? She's all out of gas. Does anything left? Yank her. That is the ultimate betrayal to Kit. That Dottie, that has always one up in her entire life, just had her pulled out of the game. In comes Betty Spaghetti to save the day. Relief pitcher, Betty Spaghetti. Probably has not pitched an inning all season if Lori Petty is just pitching every game, like the whole nine, right? So Peaches win. I think Dottie comes in, maybe gets a hit, wins the game. No. Betty Spaghetti comes in, gets the final out or whatever. Peaches win. They lock up the playoffs.
Big game.
Playoffs. Four teams.
Kit can't. Yeah. This is a really valid point.
Who's next?
This is just a. Yeah. You just made the championship game. That's
just call it a title game. Like, don't even call it a playoff. Like, what do you. Like, just go. You're in the finals.
You've won the regular season, I think.
Yeah. Kit is pissed. She is, bitching up the storm. She gets thrown. Jimmy Dugan snatches her up, throws her into the showers, throws the cold water on her, right? She cries about being Dottie's shadow. Dottie tries to quit the team, basically saying, trade me or I'm going home.
This didn't sit well with me.
Yeah. So Dottie tells Jimmy Dugan, trade me or I'm going home. Jimmy doesn't really understand why. He thinks Kit kind of has something to do with it. Or no, it wasn't even Dugan. She was talking to the liaison, the guy from Jurassic Park. She's talking to the liaison, and he's like, well, I'll see what I can do. Can't make any promises. I'll see what I can do. Well, what he does is he trades Kit. So Kit gets traded from the Peaches to Racine.
That's kind of nice. She probably didn't even have to leave the city, right? I mean, it seems like they play all their games. And I looked this up. Historically, they were all in Midwestern towns. So,
but
it seems like
buses.
Every game's in Chicago. Oh, yeah, they are.
They're taking buses to get there. So clearly, which, by the way, very poor planning on their part. Because you got to think, this is the 1940s. You're not flying. You're taking a bus ride. There's only four teams. I would put them within several hundred miles of each other. Not so close that you have fan overlap. But I wouldn't be putting them 1,000 miles away. I mean, that's just me.
Yeah.
So Kit's traded. She's pissed. Throws a fastball through the hotel living room. All right. Locker room. This is a weird scene right here. Okay. So all the girls in the locker room. Kit's been traded. Betty Spaghetti is now the pitcher. Congrats, Betty. That one inning that you pitched really, really turned some heads. Locker room. Okay. Jimmy's trying to address the team, and a postal employee walks in with a letter, and is from the War Department. You never want to get a letter from the War Department.
Let's say from this guy.
Yeah. The worst courier to deliver news that your husband is dead. Yeah. This guy.
It's unbelievable.
He walks in. He's the worst. He's absolutely horrible. I would fire this guy immediately. Like, this guy.
I would have probably done, I'd like to think that I would have done what Hanks's character did.
Yeah. Yeah. So this guy walks in and basically says, I got a letter. One of your husbands is dead, but I don't have a name, so I can't give it to you. I'll be back later. You can't just walk into a room, say that, and then leave without giving the letter. So Jimmy Dugan snatches it out of his hands, throws the guy out of the office, and looks at the letter. And now he's walking to the new widow. And as he walks by girls, they realize it ain't my husband. So they run off crying. Yeah. Very this emotional scene.
Such a slow reveal,
And then he walks right up to Betty Spaghetti. I'm sorry, Betty.
Well, he kind of splits the median between Dottie and Betty.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. The whole time I thought it was, Dottie's husband.
Well, good news, Betty. You don't have to tell your husband about that baseball card.
The first thought that I had, I'm not joking you, man. first thought that I had, I was like, man, he's never gonna find out about that baseball card, which is good.
Yep, went to his grave not realizing his hero tore it up. So Benny Spaghetti ain't pitching tonight. I really don't know who pitched. I think it was the Georgia Peach girl. I think that's who it was.
Yeah.
Like the former Miss America contest or Miss Georgia.
They should just throw Dottie on him, man. She's good at everything else. She'll figure it out for him.
Yeah, absolutely. So in comes Dottie's husband. He shows up limping. Played by, who's the guy playing it?
Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman. I always get him and Bill Paxton confused.
Same. I might have it wrong.
Yeah, I think it is Bill Pullman. I think you're
One of
right.
them, yeah.
He shows up limping. Clearly, he shot himself in the leg to get out of the war.
No question.
Tom Hanks autographs a baseball for some small children, and they look at the inscription and read it, which says, "Avoid the clap, Jimmy Dugan." That made me laugh. I know the clap is probably an STD that has long since been eradicated by, topical creams or vaccines. I don't know how, but you just don't hear much about the clap anymore. Okay. But a nice, good clap callback. Must have been a real problem in 1942. Now that Dottie's husband's back, she's leaving the team. Just absolute quitter. Quits on the team.
You just
Oh.
had your sis you just had their best pitcher traded from the team, and now you
Yeah.
just leave.
Yeah.
And
Blaves.
this really didn't sit well with me. I
I
was
agree.
like, man, I can't believe this.
It's one thing to lose Marla Hooch. It's another to lose Dottie. Okay. Now you're down to your two best players.
Dropping like flies,
Yeah.
yeah.
Dropping like flies. Somehow the World Series continues and it is 3-3. Three games go on. Win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. Now it's 3-3. Game seven. These series are only seven games, right? Now we're going into the final game. Who shows up?
Not letting her on the team.
Dottie. This bitch quits on her team and then waits until the absolute last game of the season, the final game, the championship game,
I
to
called it
show
early.
up.
I'm starting to, the
Unacceptable.
whole movie, I didn't like Kit. Right at this moment, I was like, I'm starting to understand. I'm starting to understand. It's all coming clear now.
Tom Hanks assaults the child known as Stillwell.
And this is well deserved. You skipped
Throws.
over the entire scene where Stillwell is just like peeping Tom in the locker room of the ladies' locker room, and he's just copping glances at all the ladies while they're changing. This kid deserves it, you
Yeah,
know?
and he was mocking Tom Hanks or the players or something, and Tom Hanks just unloads the catcher's mitt square in the face. Down goes Stillwell. It is now game seven. Evelyn makes another error. Tom Hanks speaks to her. He wants to yell at her. He wants to make her cry. He doesn't. Landry, that's called growth.
That is another really funny Hanks moment. Just the way that he's like broiling over with anger and can't doesn't say anything. That's pretty good.
Kit is pitching for Racine. Okay, the game is the perfect scenario is set up. Kit is pitching in game seven against the Peaches. Kit versus Dottie. Kit versus Dottie hit. Peaches take a 2-1 lead. It is now the bottom of the ninth. One thing I didn't like was they really built up to this final, the World Series. And then they just, you don't even see six of the games. And then you pretty much don't see much at all of game
Yeah.
seven. It goes like straight to bottom of the ninth, right?
Apparently this was their longest day of filming, and it was so long that there were so many extras in the stands because it was like a sold supposed to be a sold out thing that different people, different actors were doing like kind of like sideshows to keep the extras entertained over their like 12-hour shoot. So Madonna was supposed to sing, but she wouldn't. Or she kind of balked at the idea of singing. So different cast members just got up and like did karaoke versions of her songs for a little bit.
That's
And
fine.
then Tom Hanks did a puppet show. Rosie O'Donnell did stand up, apparently. There was just all kinds of like little sideshows to keep everybody entertained over this apparently long and grueling shoot that they seemingly got like 45 seconds out of.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like there's not much of it at all. And I do want to back up a little bit. I don't know if I mentioned this, when Betty Spaghetti found out her husband was dead, tearful moment number three.
Oh yeah, I figured that was
Yeah.
it. I didn't even drop in with that one. That one was sad. That was
Yeah.
a good one.
That was very sad. It's now bottom of the ninth. Kit is on tilt. Okay. Dottie is sad. Tay Leone gets a
Buddy
hit.
is sad.
Tay Leone gets a hit. Dottie makes a catch in the dugout. Like it's a foul ball in the dugout. She jumps in there, makes the catch, gets it. Now it's two out, 2-1. The Peaches are one out away. Runner on first, Tay Leone. Kit at the plate. Dottie calls time, goes up to the Georgia Peach on the mound and says, "Hey, look, Kit can't hit the fastball. Can't hit it, can't lay off it." All right, Dottie, you gonna be like that?
No, it's poetic that she's gonna lose the game for her team. She should have just stayed away.
High ball, swing and a miss. High ball, swing and a miss. Eyeball number three, crack of the bat. Kit gets a hold of one finally. She's learned to hit the high pitch. Ball goes out. One run scores. Evelyn makes another error. At this point, we need to understand Evelyn is a liability in the field. Okay.
No question. She needs to change positions at the very least.
DH. That's what she needs to do. She needs a DH. Okay. Like, I don't know if that was a thing back then. DH. Or get off the field. Like, surely you
She
got
may have been the
somebody.
reason for its creation. Maybe this was another
You may be.
spawn point of something great.
She may be. So, runner scores. It is now 2-2. Kit is rounding the bases. She's going for third for an obvious triple. She does not have any intention of stopping at the coach's stop sign. She runs through the sign. She has one thing on her mind. I'm going to run Dottie the hell over. The ball comes to
Love
Dottie.
it.
She catches it. Probably has to wait about 4 seconds because she's beat by a country mile at home plate. Kit crashes into Dottie. Epic play. Slow motion. The ball falls out of Dottie's hand. My theory. Dottie put money on Racine to win, shows up in game seven, throws it on purpose.
Dude, I like this theory because she doesn't care, obviously, about the team at all. They let her back in the game. She's obviously the best player on the field, and she's the one who loses it for them in two different ways. One by, saying that the pitcher should pitch in one way, the second one by dropping the ball at the very end. I just,
Yeah.
by the end of it, I was like, this Dottie lady. And then she doesn't want to go when she's like 80 years old to the reunion. It's probably because she's been living with this guilt her whole life.
Yeah, I hope she kept the money, like I hope she bought AT&T stock with it or something in 1942 and now she's a millionaire, I hope something there. So it is now after the game, Racine has won, the Peaches have lost, our heroes are down, they're sad, they're depressed, they're leaving the locker room, maybe we'll get them next year. Kit is outside signing autographs for young girls. She is now the hero. Kit and Dottie embrace, they say their goodbyes. Everyone is saying their goodbyes. I'll see you next season. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. I got chills at this scene. No tears, chills. Okay. This was a chill scene.
Okay.
We now flash to the present. Okay. Old Madonna recognizes that's Dottie because Dottie's just standing there. Like she just showed up and is just standing there, not saying hi to anybody, not interacting. She's just standing there. And Madonna is like, hey, Rosie, old Rosie, look who that is. Or maybe it was Rosie that saw it. Well, anyway, the two of them walk up to Dottie and they're like, Dottie. They embrace. All right. Then you see an old Marla Hooch. Nailed it. That actress nailed it. Like, looked like her, walked like her, spoke like her, had little mannerisms of like a little turtle. Like, Marla.
You have very like
So,
Moaning Myrtle vibe. I don't
very
know
much
if you're a
so.
Harry Potter
So
person.
now we're in Cooperstown and we find out why we're all here. They are opening an exhibit in the Baseball Hall of Fame for the AAGPL, AAGWPL. And they are cutting the ribbon and you start to see all the characters as elderly people, and the way they introduce some of them are is fascinating. Like it was just because you see like an old man, and you don't know who that's supposed to be, and then you find out, oh, that old man was the liaison, or that old man was John Lovitz. Like because the old guy with the obnoxiously long cigar, I think that was supposed to be John Lovitz, right?
Yes, I agree.
So this is still scene number two, and then they start showing photographs on the walls, and that was tear moment number four, I believe.
This movie
It
got
kind of
you in
hit
your
me.
feels, man.
It did.
I
It
love
hit me
it.
right in the feels. I didn't know. No tears streamed or fell, but I would just like start to tear
Right.
up, you know?
Yeah, I get that.
Dottie then sees Kit, and they act like they haven't seen each other since 1942. And I was
Yeah.
like, it's been 40 years or however long it's been. Like, what are we doing here? Like,
Yeah, there's one shot out of good to see you, Aunt Dottie. I'm like, yeah, you've only seen her in pictures. There's,
We've spoke on the phone. Yeah, nice to
right.
finally meet you. But that's it. And then the AAGPL, you see it, and apparently it went from 1942 to like
54.
1954. 12-year run. Hell yeah.
Not
Dottie
bad.
only plays one season. She got her big payday off of betting on Racine in game seven and never went back. And as the credits roll, we get a mega hit. I remember being a kid and Madonna's This Used to Be Our Playground song was a mega hit. Getting all the radio play,
Really?
watched music videos all the time. This was a monster hit at the time. I'm not saying it last, it was a hit all year, but
Yeah, I
as the
know.
movie came out a few months later, it was still a banger. It's a slow song too, not poppy at all, not
Yeah, I did
fast,
notice
very
it. I didn't
slow.
honestly, I didn't put it together that it was Madonna because
Yeah.
it was so slow. And this at this point, I knew that Hans Zimmer did the score, and I was like, man, they're not going to give him this either because the one of the intro songs is kind of another pop song. But
Yeah, that's it. And that is the end of League of Their Own, the movie after while this used to be our playground is playing. You see a bunch of elderly women playing baseball and honestly doing a pretty damn good job. I was very impressed.
Some of those, the running too. I was like, wow.
Yeah. My mom can't run like that. And there's humor. You know, there's women bitching about the balls and the strikes and kicking dirt on the umpire. You know?
I was thinking about this, man. Like, if there ever comes a time where I know it's going to be the last time in my life that I play basketball competitively, I will be up every ref's ass. Like, I mean, there is no, it's going to mean so much to me more than any, like, you know, game that I've ever played in my entire life. It will mean the world to me. If you call like an incorrect foul on me or something and I'm in jeopardy of fouling out, I would be completely irate. That's the only sport that I ever played that I ever really cared about. I mean, I played other sports, but that's the one that I cared about. So I kind of felt it when that old lady was screaming at the umpire.
Yeah. Because I don't think she's playing next week. This is it. This is her last time. Like, this is she came out of retirement for this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Basketball, too. Like, I mean, I'm 37. Realistically, I probably only got about like a couple years left before my Achilles like blows out or something, you know? So we'll hope for the best. But all right. That was great. That's fantastic. You seem to be very attached to this movie, I'm interested to see what your film review is. I'm coming from this as a first time watcher. I didn't grow up with this movie, obviously. I know it. I've heard of things. I've heard about it my whole life. Seen different scenes on cable. The one scene that I don't think you touched on this, the one scene that I actually knew and again grew up in like a Christian culture was the scene where they're praying before the game. And that was shown, I don't remember where, maybe at a youth group or something, of like how not to pray. It was pretty great. So I knew that one. And I knew the girls don't cry or there's no crying in baseball scene, but what worked for you in this film and what didn't overall?
Everything worked. Nothing failed.
Okay. Love that. I'll say that I think the chemistry between all of the characters worked incredibly well. I think the direction was wonderful. I think this being directed by a woman had a lot of different moments where I thought, you know what? I think that this would have been handled differently if it had been directed by a dude. And I think that was really good. What did not work for me, I was split between this, but I really didn't like the Geena Davis character. And I don't think that she had enough. I didn't feel like the moment between her and Kit where she wants to get the trade. Like, I think that is like a moment with like a lot of emotional leverage for the film. And having only seen it once, I didn't think there was enough that the film did. I don't think that moment was earned personally.
So is this your first time watching it?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought. Yeah. Wow.
First time watching it.
Wow. Yeah. Your first, my 15th.
Yeah. So, I mean, I get it. There were definitely seeds sown earlier on in the movie. However, I didn't think there was enough paid to the drama of that moment for her to just up and be like, I need her traded or I need myself traded away from this situation. Now, if Kit had gotten up and said that, it would have made sense. But for Dottie to do it, it didn't make as much sense to me. Because there hasn't really been a lot of her empathizing or being sympathetic towards Kit's situation and how she feels. So to just up and demand a trade was really weird to me. So we're 33 years out from this movie's debut. I would say it's aged quite well. In 30 years, do you think it will have aged well?
100%, yes. Love it. I think it's going to hold up for sure.
I think so too. I think the one thing that's in jeopardy of not having aged well is how it begins and ends personally with the old lady's kind of flashback scene. But again, I myself am I have a really soft spot for that sentimentality of the 90s. And I think that actually, you know, things come in waves and in like, it's like fashion. I think that sentimental push in film will come back at some point. So there's going to be a period, I don't know if it's 10 years down the line, 20 years down the line, where people are going to look back on this movie and it's going to be like, this is that sentimental film done right. And I think films like this, Good Will Hunting, are two prime examples of this done well, where it's not overly saturated, but it does do it well enough to kind of like give you those moments where you might get chills or you might tear up. You're not going to be streaming tears, but you know, it allows these spaces for viewers to have an emotional engagement with the movie. I think it holds up really well, and I think it will continue to age well. Who stole the show for you in this movie?
Man, there's so many. This was an extremely well-acted movie. Again,
Yes.
bonus points out the wazoo for also being good at sports and not being an embarrassment.
Yes.
You know, like
Agreed.
everybody did such a good job. Standout, I thought Madonna, Rosie O'Donnell, John Lovitz, Lori Petty did a really good job, even though she was obnoxious as hell. And I found her and Geena Davis to be the two most obnoxious characters, which, you know, they're the stars. So, but as the
Yeah.
older I get, the more I do enjoy characters that I dislike, you know, like as long as it's acted well. You know, and done correctly. Like I used to really hate Carmelo Soprano on The Sopranos. And then by season, you know, 5 and 6, I was like, okay, I still don't like her, but I like that I don't like her. Like, it just, but that's kind of hard to
Yeah.
explain. Like, I really came around to really respecting the character. And I thought Tom Hanks did a fantastic job. Everybody, it was just all around great. They knocked it out of the park, pun intended. It was a phenomenal movie. I have nothing bad to say about this movie. You know, and as we had this conversation, I began to open up and come around to the idea that Geena Davis was the antagonist in this movie. She might have been the worst person, but I respect it.
I'm not like here to rain on anyone's parade. I think that Geena Davis does a great job. I think her acting is phenomenal. I don't know. I think it was intentional that she kind of has like a standoffishness to her. It has to be because
Yes.
there's so many different points where the director, the writing makes it a point for her to kind of not this not be her thing. So, and that kind of makes sense, you know, just because you're great at something doesn't mean you enjoy it, you know?
Yeah, no disrespect to Geena Davis. It's the character, not Geena Davis.
I
It's the
agree.
character. And which is a sign that
Absolutely.
it's very well written. Penny Marshall, I know she's an actress. I don't know another movie she's ever directed. Home run. Grand slam, bottom of the ninth, two on, two out, down two,
I think that she
up and
created
in.
the show Laverne and Shirley,
That
and
sounds
then
right.
she
She was in it.
directed. Really?
She was one of the Laverne. I can't remember if she was Laverne or Shirley, but that's what she was
Oh,
like
okay. I
most
didn't
known
realize
for.
that. And she directed Big with Tom Hanks. So her and but
Oh.
like really a lot of her other stuff I did not recognize.
Wow, big. Wow.
Yeah. So out of 5 stars, Tab, I'm excited to hear your unveiling here.
I'm excited to hear yours as well. I give this movie 4.5 stars.
4.5 stars. All right. Wow. I love it. I love that you got to 4.5. I thought we were going to see our first 5 stars from you. For me, I'm teetering between. I'm not much on a half star. I don't know that I've given one out this year. If I haven't, I've recently had like an epiphany in my life about like the half star and how I don't need to use it anymore. I think I'm going to give this a really strong 3 stars. But I feel like this is one of those movies that the more you watch it, the more it grows on you. And this is definitely a movie that I would not have a problem watching again at all. I liked it a lot. I really did. So in a way, I'm thinking a 4-star. But I'm gonna shoot low for now. I'm gonna give it a 3-star. And you know, this might be a movie that I wind up watching 5 times in my life and really grow to genuinely love. But that is all the time we have here today. You can write into us at blastofthepastcast@gmail.com and tell us what you think about what is this movie we just watched? A League of Their Own. Sorry, I had written down My Cousin Vinny and it was like completely breaking my brain. You can also talk to us about what we should look at in future episodes. That's it. We'll see you next time.
This used to be our playground. This used to be.
Nice, dude, hitting those notes. All right.